Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because today we have a really fabulous guest. And like always, man, he truly is a fabulous guest. And I've known him for many years. And I am so excited that he's finally agreed to be a guest expert. And that will be coming up very soon now. And you won't want to miss it. Because if you are thinking about writing a book, or you have a book on the shelf, I have many on the shelf that need to be finished. And so if you are one of those people, or you're thinking about it, you won't want to miss this exclusive, rare interview with Erwin Zucker, the PR man, public relations. He's been around a long time, and he's the founder of the Book Publicists of Southern California. So now's your chance to listen up. And before we enter into the world of authors and experts and listen up, why don't we check around and see what are the issues of the day? I had a cable television show, actually. It was in the 90s through up about 2004. One was called Women Fight Back, and then it was Issues of the Day. And I interviewed judges and lawyers and community leaders and the victims of legal abuse, which is why I wrote the book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, award-winning, 5-star, feature around the world in Worldwide Magazine. Very exciting indeed to help people understand how important it is for them to be proactive in their own lives and to prepare for anything that might happen, any emergency. And when injustices come knocking on your back door, that is an emergency. It may not be a national emergency, but it will be your emergency, your emergency call, and you may not be prepared. So I'm writing the second edition, Americans Fight Back Legal Abuse, and I hope everyone will be reading it and learning and preparing for any type of an emergency, including legal issues that arise in our life, whether it affects us or our children or family members or someone we care about and we want to help. Most people don't have a clue what to do because we don't think injustices are going to come knocking on our back door. But I want to tell you, there are so many laws today. There are so many laws. They just keep adding laws, but they never eliminate laws. They just keep adding laws. And we have millions of laws in America. We probably have more litigation in America than any country in the world. We have more lawyers than any country in the world. And we have so many laws that sometimes we don't even know we're violating a law. Isn't that interesting? I mean, there are laws on the books that aren't even published for public review so that the public knows what the heck the legislators in Congress are doing, because every time they pass a law, they are taking away little by little by little your freedom. And everyone gets stirred up by the media. Oh my God, look at that. Look what he did. Well, that lone shooter shot somebody, which is horrible, and or many, which is horrible. And we need to take the guns away from everybody. Well, the truth is that the majority of Americans who legally, lawfully, and constitutionally purchase guns legally that are registered for their own protection and the protection of their family and from home invasions to protect their property and illegals who migrate and enter into their property to steal, and Americans are legally, lawfully, and constitutionally allowed to have legal guns. And the legislators throw everybody into a big pot suddenly before the case is even seen on the news sometimes or adjudicated in a court of law, and they decide that everybody has to have their guns taken away from them, which is interesting because most of them have lived behind walls and security and armed security. They walk around with armed security. They carry concealed weapons. They take gun training classes. But they want your guns. They want to keep their guns and their armed security. And they want to live behind walls, and they want to live behind secured walls. But they don't want you, the average American, to be able to access legal guns. Because they're, in other words, accusing all Americans of being killers, out of control killers, which is ridiculous. Because most people who commit a serial killer are a jihad, like at Fort Hood. They actually migrated him into our country, the government, and they actually allowed him to become a member of our military, and they actually allowed him, even though he was on an FBI watch list, maybe they took him off, to remain in the military and in our country until he finally performed his jihad on innocent men and women in the military who were unarmed and committed mass murder against unarmed Americans on a military base in the United States of America. They allowed a jihadist into the U.S. military. And they knew he was a problem. The government did, the FBI, Obama, Hillary, all of them. So who's responsible for Fort Hood? Who's responsible for a jihadist being recruited into the U.S. military? So the insanity of what's happening in this country is so irrational and makes no sense, because on the other hand, while they want the guns taken away from legal, lawful Americans, who the majority will never use their guns, allow foreigners from third world nations, who intelligence says are jihadists, traffickers, sex traffickers, gun traffickers, illegal drug traffickers, rapists, murderers, pedophiles, who they already know who they are before they even enter into our country, are being allowed into our country as all nice people. And we are just all racist. We just don't like immigrants. Well, that is such a bunch of bull. And so ridiculous, Because the truth is that the Democrats and rhinos, both sides of the aisle, who support illegal immigration, are encouraging foreigners to violate our laws, to break our federal and state laws, and to enter into our country illegally, and to force Americans illegally, unlawfully, and unconstitutionally to pick up the tab for all their health care, for their families, for their court hearings, if they ever show up, which most don't, for their food, for their housing, for their education, and so forth, for all their Obamacare needs. Even though the Congress has no authority to force the American people to fund people who violate our laws for the rest of their lives. And many are unwilling to work. And many, as I said, are criminals, unidentified in our nation. So I blame the legislators who are violating their sworn oaths to uphold, defend, protect, preserve the borders, the Constitution of the United States of America, and their sworn oath. So just think about that for a moment while we take a break, because now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts in just a moment. So don't touch that dial. Columbo Chronicles will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because now Columbo Chronicles Live, you're listening to the Rose Columbo, is about to enter into the world of authors and experts. And we have a dynamic guest. His name is Erwin Zucker. He is the public relations guy that you won't want to miss. And he is somebody who has been around for a long time, and he's promoted almost 4,000 authors in his career. And he is the founder and the president of the Southern California Book Publicists in California. And he's a he also has non-paying clients, like his wife and his three daughters, who are all authors and bug the heck out of him. They want the big, big shows. They want the big, big shows to promote their books like we all do, right? So if you want to know about books and publishing and you have a book on the shelf or you're thinking about writing a book or you already have a book written, you won't want to miss this interview with our very dear friend, the great book publicist of Southern California, Erwin Zucker. Hi, Erwin. How are you today?
Hey. Well, thank you very much for that eulogy. I really appreciate it.
You
sound
welcome.
Like you really know me. Well, we do know each other for many years, many, many years. And by the way, Rose, I must compliment you. I heard you on a syndicated radio show this morning with a lady out of Boston, Frankie Boyer, on the Biz Talk Radio Network. I heard you for about 10 minutes talking about your career, your book, your ideology, and how you feel about lawyers and so on and so forth. You've got to do more and more of these shows because I think everybody in the world wants to know about you or should know about you.
Well, thank you. That was very nice and very kind of you, and I would like to know everybody too. That would be fantastic because you know that everything I try to do is to help make the world a better place like you do. And with books and helping us who have books be successful, because a book is something that's grown from a seed in our imaginations and our creativity, and it's something we love and we watch to grow and blossom, and you're the one who helps us get it out there to the people. So tell us, Erwin, what in the world ever made you fall in love with book publishing and books?
Well, it all started in high school, way back in the city of Brooklyn, New York. It was a borough, one of the five boroughs of New York, but we called it a city. And I grew up in an area called Brownsville, which is a part of Brooklyn, New York. Anyhow, it was at high school, this all-boys school. It was called Boys High School. Right now it's called Boys and Girls High School. But back at Boys High School, I loved it so much. I worked on the school newspaper, and I as a sports writer, I loved it so much. I said, oh, this is going to be my career, journalism. I love words. And actually, before I went to high school, at junior high school, I won a medal for excellence in French. I seemed to be good with languages. I enjoyed that very much. And I took Latin in high school and won a scholarship eventually. But the point is that it was at high school, at this all-boys school, and I eventually graduated in June 1944. I was president of the senior class at the school, and then I went to New York University on a scholarship. I wrote for the paper there, and then I was drafted into the Army on our side during the end of World War II. I was at the age of 18. I was a GI, and I really didn't like being a fighting type of a soldier. I was more of a literary soldier, it seemed. And I worked on the Army newspaper at a place called Camp Lee, Virginia. And before I knew it, I was editing the newspaper there called the Camp Lee Traveler. So wherever I moved, wherever I stepped, it seemed that I was winding up on a newspaper and I was dealing with words. And to this very day, at the tender age of 91 and a half, I'm still writing. I'm still working in public relations as a book publicist. I'm working around the clock. There doesn't seem to be enough time in each day, you know, and I'm worn out towards the end of the day, it seems. But I like to go to sleep after putting in a full day and getting the most out of it.
That's fantastic, and that's fantastic tips for young people, too, that you should never stop working on your passion and creating and – moving forward to do good things for yourself and your family and your fellow Americans and people around the world, because life is short, and if you are passionate about what you do, you should never give up, right?
Right. You should never give up. And I know a lot of young people are looking for jobs constantly. They don't know where to turn. And sometimes they ask me, what should they do? I said, do what you like. If you have a favorite hobby, go into the field, the business world of where that hobby dominates, and work in that world, because you've got to do what you like. And people are miserable working at places they really don't enjoy. They don't get something out of it every day, and they should. And in the world of books, it's an interesting field. By the way, the book world is really becoming dominated by women. So many of the editors are women. It wasn't that way many years ago when I first started promoting books and authors. It was mostly a man's world. But today, I have to say that the literary world, the book publishing world, is dominated by women. It's female-oriented, and they're doing a great job. And I love that idea, because my wife is an author, and my three daughters are writers. And I love to see them move forward in a world of women. Yeah, so that's great. But I tell you, I really enjoyed meeting authors even in high school. I remember meeting the famous author Norman Mailer, who was an alumnus of our high school. He was very famous. He was a two-time winner, a Pulitzer Prize winner, Norman Mailer. He passed away a few years ago, but he wrote a bunch of bestsellers. And there was a science fiction writer named Isaac Asimov, who was an alumnus of our high school. And I met him a couple of times and really enjoyed his presence, and met so many of the famous alumni from this all-boys school. And a lot of them were in the literary world, so I kept it going. And when I finally graduated from the University of Michigan as a journalism major, I decided to go into the field of public relations. And the first job I got was at a TV station, in the mailroom, believe it or not, at a TV station in 1948. I got a job in the mailroom at Dumont Television, $23 a week. I thought I was going to be a millionaire. $23 a week. My mother said, $23 a week for this? You went to college? You know, $23 a week. My mother wanted me to be a dentist or a doctor or even an attorney, you know. But I said, Mom, I'm sticking to journalism. And I'm going to stay in journalism as a writer and as a public relations person. And after working in New York for a couple of record companies, I decided to branch out on my own. And I formed a company that I called Promotion in Motion, because I always felt that I was in motion. I always felt I was moving. I felt I was doing things, meeting new people every day. And that's the truth of it. Even to these days, I meet new people, exciting people. And I think one of the secrets of life is to live, learn, and love. And you've got to meet people, learn about them. Just don't become too obsessed with yourself. It's a big, big world. There are a lot of people out there, and you can learn from each and every one of them. I know I learned from my wife. I learned from my three daughters. I learned from my five grandchildren. I'm learning every minute, and I think you are too, Rose, with your family. I've heard so much about your daughters and your grandkids that you really learn, and that must be one of your precepts of living, I imagine. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I love learning from other people, because everybody has their own knowledge and abilities and intellect and different fields, and we know so little actually in reality. And then when we talk to these wonderful authors and experts on their topics and subjects, it's like an eye awakening, and we're like, wow,
right.
We didn't know that. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. You know, and
yeah,
so many topics are exciting that I would never know anything about, like, you know, like
things that
have to do with science and, you know, rocket scientists and so forth.
I just thought of a new slogan: learn and earn. And I think if people learn, they will earn. And a lot of people are interested in money, and that's not the only thing in life that we should be interested in, but it goes on. And I'll tell you, in 1956 or so, when I formed my company, Promotion in Motion, actually the full name was Irwin Zucker Promotion in Motion, I moved to California from New York City. I got into a beat-up Chevrolet and drove from New York City down to Florida, through Texas, where I had relatives, and on to California. I traveled with my twin brother, who unfortunately passed away about 30 or 40 years ago, and he was a great asset to me. He was an attorney. Anyhow, in California in 1956, when I finally settled in California and I visited Palm Springs, I met my future wife there, and we've been married now over 60 years. My wife, Deborah, is a writer, and my three daughters are writers. We try to keep it in the family, but not necessarily. We love all types of writers. We do. Yeah. Anyhow, I got married in 1957, September 1st, 1957, and my career was booming. I first started as a record promoter. And then one day I got a call from a book publishing company that you might remember called Prentice Hall. Prentice Hall Publishing Company, very big at the time. And they asked me whether I would be interested in promoting one of their authors in California. His name was Norman Vincent Peale. Peale was a minister. And he had a book out called The Power of Positive Thinking. And when you think about that title, which is very important for books, it's always good to have a penetrating title for your book. As you know, as an author yourself, if you have a good title, people become interested, and you've got a good book cover. Anyhow, Prentice Hall asked me whether I could promote Norman Vincent Peale. Now, he had a best-selling book, The Power of Positive Thinking, but he was just coming out with his life story called Minister to Millions. They said, can you promote that? I said, yes. And I had never promoted a book in my life at that time. But I said, yes, you know, like a real good publicist. I lied a bit. And I said, yes, I can promote books as well as records and products and almost anything. Anyhow, Norman Vincent Peale came to California for a few weeks, and we had no problem getting him on radio shows, television shows, newspapers, magazines, weeklies. And although the book, Minister to Millions, did not do as well as the big book, The Power of Positive Thinking, because The Power of Positive Thinking was such a monster book, was so big, it was difficult to have a follow-up and sell as many copies as that. But I think it did fairly well, the book called Minister to Millions, and I got to know Norman Vincent Peale. And after that, over the years, and as you mentioned earlier in the show here, I have promoted almost 4,000 authors over the years.
That's
other day,
amazing.
My wife and I were figuring it out. Yeah, yeah. Well, there were some months I had 100 authors to promote, and when you're in the business over 60 years and you do your math, if you know your math well, it comes out to over 3,000, then close to 4,000. But you've got to think, it's 60 plus years of promoting books and authors. And after Norman Vincent Peale, I got lucky with an author named Jacqueline Suzanne, who had a book called Every Night Josephine, which we promoted. And then I had Zsa Zsa Gabor. Now, that was one of my most famous clients, and there was quite a story about her. I mean, actually, I was hired by the publisher. The publisher of Zsa Zsa Gabor's book hired me and said, look, on your first assignment, pick her up and take her to a book signing we have in Pasadena. Zsa Zsa Gabor at that time was living in the Bel Air section of Los Angeles. Pick up Zsa Zsa Gabor at 7 o'clock. Here's the address and where you've got to take her to the book signing in Pasadena. So I told the publisher, you know, I have a beat up Chevrolet. I don't know if it's right for me to pick her up with in my Chevrolet. Can you give me the authority to rent out a real snazzy new car from one of the dealerships in Los Angeles? They said yes, but don't spend more than $30 for the rental. So I went and I got a car for a brand new car for only $28. And I told my assistant, my assistant came with me, and I said, you do the driving, and we'll go to Zsa Zsa Gabor's house. We've got to be there by 7 and take her to this book signing in Pasadena. So we got there, and we got there on time. And believe it or not, Zsa Zsa was just so friendly toward us and so wonderful. And she said, okay, well, let's go to Pasadena. Well, I went outside, I looked for my car, and it wasn't there. You know, I don't know what happened. We did drive to the house. Where was the car? And then I saw the car hanging over a cliff, believe it or not. Evidently, my assistant who did the driving, when he thought he parked the car, he put it in neutral. He put it in neutral instead of parking. And the car evidently backed up by itself. You know, it rolled back, hit a couple of bushes and everything, and was hanging over a cliff. And we explained this to Zsa Zsa. And Zsa Zsa said, boys, why are you too worried? Don't worry. I have a good old-fashioned Ford station wagon. We can take the station wagon and go to Pasadena. Just call the rental car people to pick up the car and tell them if they're covered by insurance to take care of me. That's Zsa Zsa Gabor talking, you know. And that's how nice she was about it. And evidently the insurance did take care of it. And we drove to this place in Pasadena, and that prompted me with an idea that maybe I should write a book about the famous people that I've worked with in the book business. I think I have a good title for it. It's tentatively called Greats and Ingrates, and You're In It. Greats and Ingrates, and You're In It. You like that title, Rose?
I do.
In fact, Rose, you're going to be in the book because I had the pleasure of promoting one of your early books many years ago when we got to know each other. I got to work on it. But as I said earlier, at the age of 91 and a half, I'm busy every minute of the day booking authors on shows all over the country. And I'm a one-man operation right now because 5 years ago, after having a staff of 7 people at times, I decided I better work out of my home. And that's the decision I made 5 years ago. I moved everything into my home. I became a one-man operation. And you know what the problem is about being a one-man operation in your home?
I can guess, but go ahead.
Well, my problem is I'm in the kitchen too much. I spend too much time in the kitchen, and I don't like the idea of putting on weight I mean, I'm over 200 pounds now, and I've never been over 200 pounds. And I mentioned that to one of my four doctors that I visit regularly. He said, well, don't worry about it. In fact, this doctor gave me some great advice, said, Irwin, you're in good physical shape. Eat whatever you want. How do you like that advice from a doctor? Eat whatever you like, whatever you want. You're okay. You're in good shape. Wow-wee. I said, yeah, but I'm over 200 pounds now. I think I'm 203 or 204. He said, oh, you've only gained about 4 or 5 or 6 pounds since your last visit here of several weeks ago. Don't worry too much about it. Keep exercising, take walks, and keep swimming. I did give up tennis. I gave up tennis. A lot of people, when they reach 90, they do give up certain sports. You know, they
right.
have to. But anyhow, I love promoting books. And my daughters, as you know, Rose, I have twin daughters, and they've written 7 books, 7 health books. They're really cookbooks. And they're vegetarians. They never liked my wife's cooking. They didn't like my cooking. I tried it for a while to keep them happy. So they decided to become their own chefs. And they and while they were still in public school in Beverly Hills, they met a school teacher there, one of their teachers who lectured to them on being a vegetarian. So my twin daughters became vegetarians, although my wife and I are not. It's great to be a vegetarian, and they are now 57 years old. They've written 7 books. They live up in Santa
wow.
Barbara. They've been on national TV shows. They've been on radio shows, talk shows, everywhere.
That's
so
fantastic. But I have to ask you one question before I forget.
Yeah.
What happened to the car? Did it go over the cliff or not?
Okay, the car. I got to be careful.
I have a cliff hanger here.
I got to be careful what I say. Yeah. Well, actually, the car stayed on the cliff. No, it didn't. It didn't topple over. Only when the car agency people. Where we rented the car from, they came out later. We understood they had a crew. They knew how to get the car adjusted and towed away back to the dealership. You know, so the car remained in one solid piece. But I don't know. It was a miracle that it didn't topple over. It was just hanging over the cliff for some reason. But it's quite a story. It's a true story. And by
it's
the
a
way,
great story.
Well, some of the best things that happen and become part of books are true stories. You don't unless you're writing fiction, you can make up a lot of stuff. Really, you can make up a lot of stuff. But I got to tell you this: in the course of promoting books and authors. I did have a Jacqueline Suzanne, but one of my favorite authors, I work with her a lot. She later became the editor of Cosmopolitan magazine, and she
wow.
did so Helen Gurley Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Helen Gurley Brown. She wrote a book called, wrote several books. The Sex Life, it wasn't called The Sex Life of a Single Girl. Sex and the Single Girl. That's what it was called. Sex
oh, yeah.
and the Single Girl. And I was hired by the publisher to promote Helen Gurley Brown. And
wow,
she, at
that's
that
amazing.
Time. At the time, she was married to David Brown, a producer, a movie producer. They were two of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. They did so much to help me. I couldn't understand. Wow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. They helped me write my promotional materials. They gave me a lot of tips on promotion and everything, and I kept promoting. And that reminds me, today, one of my top authors is a terrific science fiction writer. He's been on your show, Mark Kingston Levin. He's written
oh, yeah.
a trilogy He's written 3 science fiction books, and a couple of weeks ago he said, "Irwin, I'm writing a couple of freelance articles. I want to do a story on you." I said, "On me?"
Oh.
I said, "This is a real twist, an author interviewing the publicist." And I said, "You sound like a press agent to me." So in all my 60-plus years, that never happened, where an author decided to interview me. And we did a couple of interviews together, and it's going to be printed in a couple of different publications. And speaking of publications, I don't know whether you're familiar with a publication called Not Born Yesterday. That's the name of it. It's out of Los Angeles, but it goes all over the United States. It deals with senior citizens, and they did an article on me, which is just breaking out today.
Oh.
I haven't seen the article. I haven't seen the article yet, but the editor called me yesterday and said, "Irwin, the story is breaking on Wednesday, and you ought to get a copy." I said, "I generally pick up copies of Not Born Yesterday at the Beverly Hills Library." I said, I'll hop over there and take a couple of copies for my relatives and so and such. So, anyhow,
is it published online or just in paper?
No, it's both, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's online right now today. I looked yesterday. It wasn't yet. You know, they had. It's only a monthly publication. Not Born
okay.
Yesterday. So I guess I could look at today, but I'll try to get a copy of it. But anyhow, I love publicity because I am the founder, as you well know, Rose, because you've been a member for many years. I am the founder of an organization called the Book Publicists of Southern California. 43 years ago, I decided to form this organization in Los Angeles. And so many of my public relations buddies and colleagues said, "Irwin, don't give your secrets away." I said, "Secrets? There are no secrets. It's just good common sense and intelligence that tells you how to promote. You know, that's a secret." So we had our first meeting 43 years ago at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. And I formed the organization because I felt there were a lot of publicists, and I never felt competition with them. I felt everybody had an equal opportunity to have their own company and make money, and let's all be friendly and help each other. And it's worked that way for 43 years. And Rose, you've been to several of our meetings, and we hope to have you at several more when you have the time with you and your family. But that's, we have great meetings, and every year we have a booth at USC. We didn't have to get permission from any relatives to sign up with this booth at USC. They took the money from us, from the Book Publicists of Southern California. And on April 13th and 14th, that's next month, people from all over the United States, people who are listening to this show anywhere, can attend the LA Times Festival of Books on April 13th and 14th. It's free admission. It's on a weekend, and it's on the campus at USC, University of Southern California. It used to be at UCLA for first 15 years. It was at UCLA. It was. And then they switched. I don't know why, but the LA Times, the sponsor of this annual Festival of Books, moved over to USC. So this year will be the 24th annual Festival of Books. It's really a lot of fun. But there are book events all over the United States. In New York, at the end of May, they've got an event similar to it. And they've got the biggest event in the world is called the Frankfurt Book Festival in Germany, where
wow.
publishers and authors come together this year. It's going to be October 12th to the 16th in Germany at a city called Frankfurt. It's big. It's been going on for many years. and lots of deals are made there. Yeah. And,
isn't that just about the time for the beer festival? The German beer festival?
Yeah. Pardon?
You can celebrate. Oh, I said, I think that's about the same time as the German beer festival. You can go to the book festival and the beer festival.
Well, that's a good idea. Well, that could be a lot of fun. Why not? And by the way, speaking of fun, that's why people should be in the book business. You don't really get rich in the book business. Some people do. But the percentage of people who write books don't make a lot of money as a writer. However, they can make money as a public speaker. The book can be a vehicle to help you become a public speaker, and you get well paid, from a lot of organizations. But more than anything else, they make wonderful Christmas presents to relatives in case the book doesn't sell too well and you're stuck with a couple of hundred books. Think of all the relatives you have and all the friends and give it out as an ideal Christmas gift. And it could work that way, It could work very, very well. So, we all try to do the very best we can. And that's what it, but I accented the word fun. We all should have fun in the book business. You enjoy talking about books all the time, as I heard you this morning on the Frankie Boyer show out of Boston on the Biz Talk Network. And, you wrote your book on how to fight legal abuse.
When did that come out, about
20 years ago?
No, Fight Back Legal Abuse was published at the end of 2010. And then I'm working on the second edition, which will be American Fight Back Legal Abuse.
Yeah, you mentioned that on the air this morning. Yeah. Well, now, you mentioned a very important thing. You're updating books. Now, a lot of people write books, and they don't sell for a couple of years, believe it or not. And then by some strange quirk called publicity, maybe, a book becomes a bestseller. The word gets around, and that's what it's all about. And people who write books should do every possible radio show, big, small, or intermediate. They should do every possible TV show, no matter where. I know my twin daughters were on the Today Show in New York, and it took us about 8 months of constant promotion with the producers of the Today Show to get them interested in booking Judy and Shari Zucker with their book on the Today Show. And that was about 4 or 5 years ago when they did the show. But they've done a lot of shows, and they traveled for General Mills. They were sponsored by General Mills. They've done a lot of things, and they've got children of their own. And so we've got 5 grandchildren now, and maybe one or two of them might become professional writers. We don't know. We try to encourage people to write all the time. And just the other day, some woman came up to me and said, "I want to be an author." I said, "Well, it's not that easy. Some people spend, some people spend 10 years writing a book or more. It just isn't done in just 1 week or 2 weeks or a month or two."
Took me years to write my book.
Yeah, right.
Many years, yeah.
But some people do it rather fast in a couple of weeks. They turn it out. But I say, if you want to write a book, you could do it either on your computer or longhand or dictate it. And there are lots of people, lots of good editors, around New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, almost in any major city, you will find good editors, ghostwriters, people who can help you with your book. And a lot of times we all need help. I know Robin Quinn is one of my dearest friends. She's an editor here in Los Angeles, and she has helped people all over the world, actually, with writing a book. Now, there's a lady who's been on your show. Her name is Patricia Rust, and she wrote a terrific book on literacy for children a book called Step Away from the Phone. She is sensational, and she did a book signing the other day that I attended. In fact, last Saturday, at a place called Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, and she had a full house of people, and she did such a great job because she knew how to promote a book. She knew how to sell a book. She was very animated. She was talking directly to the audience, and she had people of all ages there. She had young kids and grandparents, and she was promoting two books. I had to go out to a funeral of a famous person who wrote The Love Boats, Geraldine Saunders. She passed away at the age of 95 about 10 days ago. And I went to her memorial service this past Saturday at Forest Lawn in Glendale, California. And it was just a wonderful, marvelous memorial service to Geraldine Saunders. And she was a dear friend. She wrote The Love Boats. She was a cruise director. I'm sure you're familiar with the book, and a lot of people are.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Yeah, I didn't know.
The Love Boats became a national TV show. And this author, she had a percentage, had a good contract where she had a good royalty rate from that show that ran for about 250 weeks, I believe. And she would get checks every month, royalty checks. She loved going to see what was in the mail every day, because normally there would be a check for her. But she made a fortune, and she was a dear friend. She was loved by everybody. Just terrific. And The Love Boat became a motion picture. And unfortunately, when she passed away, it was about she was working on getting it into Las Vegas as a musical, believe it or not. But I don't know whether that will ever happen, because she passed away. And usually the success of a best-selling book is the combination of a team. It's the author, as you know, Rose. You've been on so many radio, TV shows and written up in newspapers. You've got to work with your public relations person. And it's a team effort. Authors wonder, why am I paying this PR person? I'm doing all the work, an author might say, of getting on radio and TV. But as I said before, it's a team effort. You work together. Everybody pitches in to get on radio shows and TV shows.
Do you find that there's people who say, oh, why do I have to go on that show? It's just a local show, How many people are going to listen to a local show? You get that, too, because it's always been my attitude. It didn't matter which show it was to me.
Right,
who's
Rose,
listening,
you have a good
and you
point.
Don't know. Yeah, you don't you know who's never, listening, and you don't know who's going to go out and start buying your books.
Yeah, Rose, my advice is to everybody who writes a book, and they think, well, it's going to happen by itself. It doesn't. A book has to be promoted. A book must be promoted. You've got to get on radio shows, and you've got to get on shows, whether they're major shows, intermediate, or small shows in small communities, and the same thing with television, no matter where it is, because word gets around. Word spreads. And it's just like getting your book or books into a store. Many bookstores will order only one or two copies of a book, and if they sell it out, they'll reorder. And you can't, unless you have an automatic big bestseller, like a former first lady in the White House, her book has been number one longer than anybody else on the New York Times list and on the Publishers Weekly list. There are exceptions in all cases, but to me, you never know who's listening. I don't know how many thousands of people are listening to this show right now, but if one of the people call me, they might become a client even. You never know. So I'm happy that you invited me to be on the show. It's a great joy, and I just want to tell people listening that if they are ever on the West Coast and they would like to attend a meeting of the Book Publicists of Southern California, all you have to do is go to a website and just look under Book Publicists of Southern California, and there's all the information. We only meet every other month, but we've been doing it for 43 years. And I don't think we're going to stop. Now, I was president of the Book Publicists for the first 18 years. I tried desperately to get people to take over, but nobody really wanted the job. It was a job. And I'm still the guiding force behind it, although we have a very good president right now. His name is Bruce Braunstein. He's been president for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's doing a great job. And we're having a meeting April 4th. In Los Angeles. But the main thing is, I want to repeat, if you don't mind, if people are going to be in the Los Angeles area, April 13th and 14th, we have a great event. I mean, I say we, the LA Times has a great event called the LA Times Festival of Books. This is their 24th year in a row, and it's going to be on the campus of USC. That's on a weekend. Is April 13th and 14th, and people from actually all over the world. There are about 400 booths there, spread all over the campus. And our booth is number 933, where we're in a good location near the Tommy Trojan statue, where people congregate like crazy, and they see our booth, they stop and say hello to us. So we like people to say hello. We like people to visit us in California. And it's a lot of fun. They're great book events in Florida, in southern cities, Chicago, even Seattle and San Francisco. Most major cities have a book event of some type a couple of times a year, and they invite the general public. But it's great to meet authors. I think the public should meet authors wherever possible at book signings. And I read the other day that there are bookstores being reborn throughout the United States. For a couple of years, bookstores were closing like crazy.
Right, they were. Now,
yeah, they went under. But now the bookstores are making a comeback, and more bookstores are doing well. I can't thank you enough for having me on the show. I know you have other things to talk about, and you have a good, solid audience. I'd like to give out my phone number, if you don't mind. Is that all right, Rose?
Oh, no, go ahead. Absolutely.
If people want to contact me, they can call me, collect, at area code 323-461-3921. That's area code 323-461-3921. Anybody can call me in any part of the United States. If you have any questions about books or writing a book or how to promote a book, if you have a book out, why not call me? You can call me around the clock. If I'm not in, just leave word on my machine, that number that I just called, that I gave to the general public, and I'll get back to you one way or another. Anyhow, it's been a lot of fun with you, Rose. You're one of my favorite people. I try to listen to you as much as I can on this show, and I enjoy the authors that you put on that are clients of mine, and I really appreciate it very, very much. I know you had a very interesting client just the other day, Herbie Pilato, with his book called The Mary Tyler Moore Story.
That was very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mary Tyler Moore was my neighbor for a few years in Beverly Hills. But I never I never got to know her. We were just waving at each other. But now, as I told the author of the book, I said to Herbie Pilato, I'm really getting to know my former neighbor, Mary Tyler Moore, through your book, Herb. And, she died about 2 years ago at the age of 80. And, she was a big star, and people love to read about famous people. They like to get the inside story. And this guy, Herbie Pilato, just did an incredible job. And I know her. I heard part of the show that he was on last week with you. And I want to thank you very much. He's a good friend of mine, Herbie. And he spoke at one of our meetings the other day, which was great. But again, I want to thank you. I know I've talked too much, but that's what this business is all about. It's about talking and connecting, really.
Exactly.
So thanks a million for all the time you gave me. And best wishes to you on your new edition of your book. And thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Erwin. Have a great day.
I will.
And Erwin Zucker has left the building, and he gave you his phone number if you have a book or you need information on PR, publishing, editing, whatever, publicity. He's a great person to contact and find out more about how you can get your book out there and get proactive. It's up to you. I mean, no one can make you do it. We can provide you with the information, but we can't make you do it. So it's up to you to have the passion and the love and put in the effort to create your book and your dream and make your American dream come true. And on that note, we're going to say so long and arrivederci. And until we talk again, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday live from noon to 1 p.m., God willing, on Colombo Chronicles Live. So stay healthy, stay happy, and God bless you, and God bless America.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.